this time very quietly. The kids are dismissed for Asbury Church Kids, so if you want to make your way over. Everyone else, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6. So we're continuing our series on stories of hope. And the hope is this, is that God steps into the future to help his people. Now, the way I define hope is this. It is the confident expectation of the future because of God. How many know that because of God, we have hope for a better tomorrow? Can I get a witness on this one? How many know you may have had a bad week, but because of God, we have hope of a better tomorrow? Can I get a witness? Come on now. All right, you get to be loud this morning. You get to enjoy. Hey, by the way, I'm going to need your prayers this week. So just so you know, tomorrow, me, Ashley, and 12 students from Asbury Church are going to youth camp. Yeah, which is amazing. Yeah, give it up. Now, if you look at me, you go, he's too young for youth camp. I know. Or too old. I'm like going, oh my goodness. But I want you to know, we're going to have an amazing time the next few days and Monday through Friday. And I just want to encourage you to be praying for our young people as they go, that God would do something in their lives. Because how many know God loves to show up in moments to change hearts and lives and destinies? Now, the reason I am passionate about camp and why even at the young age of 52, I will still go to youth camp is because when I was 17 years old, I was at a youth camp. And I was at the place in my life where I was beginning to make some very foolish and stupid decisions. And I began to recognize where that path was going to take me. And even though I had grown up in church and grown up, my mom and dad, they're ministers, and we've done all sorts of different things, that as I grew up, man, I got to a place where I just recognized that it wasn't enough to have mom and dad's faith. I needed my own faith. And it was in that time that I recognized, because of the decisions that I was making, I was going to start wrecking things. And I asked Christ to forgive me of my sins and made a commitment to follow him. Now, back when I was 5 years old, I remember being on the top bunk of my bed and having this sense, just as a five-year-old, that God wanted me to serve as a pastor. Now, I can't really explain it. I just kind of had a knowing. And I just remember at a young age simply saying, okay, I'll do it. And what was interesting is that as I went through my teen years, and I chose some stupid and stuff like that, and I began to think I could figure this out better than what God has for me, that I was just grateful that God would come and forgive my sins. And so I was all on board for that. But I thought maybe I'd gone too far, that I'd never be able to serve him. And it was interesting that in the midst of all the stuff that went on, God reminded me that, you know what, he still has purpose for my life. And it's been the thing that's continued to move me and challenge me is that God didn't give up on me. And the reason I share this is number one, it connects to my message. But also because I know sometimes in our lives we can feel that, you know what, how can God use my life? Because of stuff that's in my past. I want you to know our God is greater than our history. He's greater than our past. And by his grace, he can begin to change things inside you and me to begin to release our lives for greater things. And this morning, I just want to take a few minutes to share from Isaiah chapter 6 around the idea of seasons for change. Now, as I was like doing training and learning about ministry and all this stuff, I remember hearing somebody say that people need hope, especially in three seasons of life. The first season is when there are seasons of crisis. How many know that sometimes in life there are crisis situations and circumstances that just seem to come upon you that you don't get to choose, and it's kind of like a little bit overwhelming. And in the midst of crisis, boy, we need hope. The second season that he was like, the time you need hope is not just in crisis, but also in the midst of conflict. I mean, where there's motion, there's friction. And sometimes as we go through life, that the relationships that we value and treasure for a whole bunch of different reasons can begin to experience that conflict and friction and a wearing down, and it just can absolutely overwhelm us. And we can begin to lose a sense of a future. And so sometimes We need, or in crisis, we need hope spoken. In conflict, we need hope spoken. But the third area the person said was this, is that when you're in a season of change, you need hope spoken to you. And one of the things that I've learned about life is how many know that change is always happening. And you don't always get to control it. And there's a part in our lives where we wrestle through change. And whenever you go through change, even though people may say, I like change, change is not always easy. Change often involves leaving the familiar and moving to the unexpected. Now we may choose to change or choose change sometimes, but other times change is compelled to us, and there's those moments where we long for what it once was. Now I just note in life that no matter where you are, probably in the next 5 or 10 years, you will go through a significant change, because that's kind of how life is. And it's interesting. It can be things regarding, you know, relationships or locations, vocations, all sorts of different things. I remember a number of years ago, I don't even know how many now, but it was a number of years ago, when our oldest daughter left the house to go to school for the first time. I remember that we knew that time was coming, and that once she left, it isn't going back. Even though she's still our daughter, she's still not our daughter in our house, and you go through a season of change. And I just remember how kind of traumatic it was. And so we did our last vacation together, and we got all these different things. But I remember the challenge of that season. Now, y'all know our children are kind of like messed up people. We love them, but they're messed up. And so they had this thing that they did when they were kids, when we were living over at the Parsonage, whenever we'd have family or friends stay with us, and then their family and friends would leave. We'd all stand out front to wave goodbye, and our children would run as they were driving away and run beside all along Trip Hammer Road, waving at them and doing all these things. And we thought it was cute. Until we dropped Samantha off in Seattle. And as we pulled away from the university, and I look in the rearview mirror, this is just messy stuff. It just gets your heart, it just gets my heart. I can still see it, I can still feel it. As we're driving away, watching my adult daughter do what she's always done when people leave, which is to run and wave. And she drove in, and we're just like, we're sitting there, we're just a wreck. Because this is what we knew, it wasn't going back. And what's interesting in life is we all go through these seasons of change, and we're like going, you know what, boy, I wish it was like it was before. But we don't always get that. How many recognize change is inevitable? Can I get a witness on this one? How many are getting old and you're like, yeah, change is inevitable? Some of us used to be able to bounce around and run and ski and do all these things. And now we have to do physical therapy. I told Pastor Duane, I told him, what you just need to tell people is that you're in therapy, not physical therapy, because then they might be a little more, you know, compassionate. You know, like, hey, Pastor Duane, how you doing? Well, I'm doing okay. I'm just in therapy. And you're like, oh, I'm so sorry. But now when you come up to him and he's like going, how you doing? He's like, well, oh, I'm in physical therapy. You're like, why? Well, have to work my muscles a little bit more. And you're like going, that's because you're getting old. And then you laugh, right? See, just like this, right? Told you, we should have gone with just therapy. But here's the thing about life. Change is inevitable. Growth is optional. Like, change is coming. And it may be that you're here today and you're not in change yet, but you know it's coming. Just want you to know it's coming. It could be you're in the midst of a change right now and you're just trying to figure some stuff out. There's some stuff that you know it ain't going back to what it was before and you're kind of wrestling with some of that stuff. It may be that you've just come out of change and you're like going, praise Jesus, I made it through. But change happens and it doesn't stop. And this morning, as we look at Isaiah 6, this is the idea that I hope just gets anchored in your heart. And that is this: encountering God enables us to grow through seasons of change. That no matter where you are in this whole life process dealing with change, that encountering God enables us to grow through seasons of change. And so we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah is a prophet who served through many seasons of change. He lived in the southern kingdom, and he brought God's word to a people in the midst of all sorts of things. And I just want to take a few minutes to look at Isaiah's call that we find in chapter 6, and this is how it begins. In the year that King Uzziah died. How many know death puts change into your life, whether you're ready or not? And he begins like, hey, like the beginning of this whole passage is in the context of, listen, things have changed and we're not sure what's happening next. See, Uzziah, he was actually king and had been king for 52 years. He started at 16. How many of you would like to have a king who was 16 years old? How many of you would like to have a 16-year-old telling you how you ought to live? You know, like, not me, right? Griffin, are you 16? Almost 16? Oh, bless the Lord. I'm glad we're not doing the king thing anymore. Amen. Yeah, mom and dad, like, amen. Well, that means that if we were, and he was going to be king, that means you're queen there, Deborah. You'll pass. Still a no. It's a hard no, right? But he served 52 years. And just so you know, that if you're reigning for 52 years, how many know it's going to lend itself to a little bit of stability and predictability, and you're kind of knowing what's going on? The moment kings changed, all bets were off. Like if you read some of the biblical changing of kings, some guys are around for months because someone's getting assassinated. And there's this palace intrigue that's going on. And so when King Uzziah dies, understand, it's like we've known what it's like for 52 years, and now everything is on the table. Things are changing. In the year King Uzziah died, Isaiah says this: I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne. And the train of his robe filled the temple, and above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." Now, I think this is so important because no matter where you are in the issue of seasons of change, there's a big idea that we need to understand that we can get from this verse. And that is this: things may change around us, but God doesn't. Can I get an amen on that one? I mean, everything can change around you, but God doesn't. Even though the king had died, and even though there was an uncertain future, he saw the Lord, high and exalted, and seated on a throne. He knew that leaders may come and go, but God remains on the throne overall. And as he's watching this vision unfold, it's as if he can't even get to see to the top of God because he just sees, like, you know, his train filling the temple. There's a sense of the enormity of who God is. And the seraphim, the burning ones. And so there's this idea of light and just radiance. And he's hearing them call to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory." And this is what I think is important, not only recognizing that God is on the throne, but who he is as he sits on the throne. Number one, there's two things that are mentioned here. One regards his transcendence, his being above all, and the second thing is his immanence, which means he's all around. So the first deals with his transcendence, that God is above all, that he is holy, that he is distinct, that there is none like him. And the angels say, holy, 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 which is like this emphasis on what is his, what is the perfection of his character. It's holy, holy, holy. And it's such a beautiful that the one who sits upon the throne, he is greater, mightier, he is above all, he is distinct from all else. But not only that, it says the whole earth is filled with his glory. And this is the part that I think is so important for us as we think about seasons of change. Because even though change can move us from a place and bring us to a place of uncertainty, and how many know that uncertainty has a way of unsettling? Like when you don't know, you're kind of like, what am I supposed to do? That in the midst of all of this, no matter where change brings us, the whole earth is filled or is full of his glory. Do you know what that means? There's no place you can go where his presence and his goodness and the emanation of his presence isn't. That involves not just location. Some of us, we've had the privilege of going to different places in the world. We had a group about a year ago that went to Madagascar. And you want to know something? You know one of the things they discovered in Madagascar? The same God that we worship here is the same God who's over there. I've had the privilege of being in Guatemala. I've been to Mexico. That wasn't missions. That was for fun. I've been to Romania. I've been in Belgium, Germany, Italy. I've gone on all these different places. And you, what I can tell you, no matter where you go, his glory is there. And even though you might be in a season of change and you're unsettled about what's ahead, what we all need is a vision of who God is. Because even though things change, God doesn't. Secondly, I want to note this, is that it's his grace that enables us to be what we must become. It says in verse 4, at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled to smoke. And so this vision that he's having is just like there's sights and sounds and smells, and there's this sense of just shaking, like this is a magnificent picture. And as Isaiah is taking it all in, he says, woe to me, for I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar, and with it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. See, it's pretty amazing as he's having this experience, as he's wrestling in transition, he says, okay, so now I see who God is, but as he's in the midst of that, he becomes so aware of his own deficiencies. You know, he's a prophet. And how many know that prophets are really good at seeing the faults in others, right? Like if you read Isaiah, he will thunder against the people of God, about the people around the people of God. Like he's like going, this is where it's missing. This is where, in this moment as he encounters God, he's actually saying, hey, wait, I'm undone. See, there's something that happens in change. Because as we go through seasons of change, it's kind of interesting how transition or changing causes stress to relationships. Have you ever been that place? You're going through a difficult time. You're trying to make sense of things. And sometimes the emotion's so great that you can begin to, I don't know, say things, do things that you're not proud of, but you're doing it just because the emotion of the change seems so great. Sometimes you can feel like I am powerless in this, and so I just have to be able to say something, and you say something, you're like going, oh, I wish I wouldn't have said that. Anybody been in that place? Because what happens is in change is that the unsettling of the soul causes us to begin to say, I got to hold on to things. And sometimes in those places of change, we become critical. We become critical of others, and we can see the issues of the people around us, but not always completely aware that actually there's stuff in us that needs to change. So have you ever wrestled with what Jesus says? I have. Jesus says things that I don't always like. Can I get a witness on this? So he'll say stuff like this. Ready for this? Out of the overflow of the mouth, the heart speaks. Now, this is important because sometimes in the season of change, the stress arises and the criticalness comes out and sometimes the judgmental words and sometimes the harsh words come out and sometimes, I don't know, all sorts of things. And we're just like going, if I wasn't in the situation, you know, I would never have done it. That wasn't me. It was the events that I'm a part of. It's the stuff that I'm in. And Jesus is actually like going, hold up, wait a minute. What's actually happening is this, is that in that stressed environment, what's happening is what's inside is beginning to come out. See, what happens in change, in seasons of change, there's stress that happens, and sometimes that stress becomes vocalized, and it can be harshness and judgmental and critical, and it can just be interesting stuff that comes out. And sometimes we want to make the problem about everybody else, and if everybody else just got their act together, we could manage the change. Yet Isaiah's in this place where he says, hey, wait, I'm actually the one that's undone. And what is it that he references? He says, it's my lips that are unclean. Meaning that there's something in me. Yeah, he'll reference the unclean lips of the people he's with, but he's just like, dude, listen, it's me. And sometimes in the midst of the change, what we don't realize is that there's a person that we need to become. We need to become in order to live in the change. But for that to happen, we have to take responsibility for our stuff. What's amazing about this whole vision piece is, as Isaiah is like, you know, I'm undone, woe is me, and he's declared woe on a whole bunch of other people. Now he's like, well, actually, the woe is with me. Woe is me. I'm undone. I'm the wreck. I'm the mess. That what God does is the picture is that heaven acts to redeem and to restore. What we just celebrated just a few moments ago at communion is the reminder again that, you know what, we're still messy and there's a lot of stuff that needs to change in us, but the change begins by the grace of God to us. And there's a part that in what you're going through, what you need is you need the grace of heaven to meet you, to begin to change you. And to change you, not just on a surface level, but to change you at the heart. You see, things may change around us, but God doesn't. And not only that, it's His grace that enables us to be what we must become. The third thing I want to note from this passage is that our availability releases new possibilities. So the first scene we kind of looked at is this Isaiah, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on the throne. The train of his robe filled the temple, and the seraphim are singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. And then the second scene is like, hey, wait, whoa, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. And heaven responds or acts in order to redeem. And then the third part is as he's in this place, it's almost as if that he's not quite ready to hear what God has to say until this act of purity takes place. But then Isaiah hears God say, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying," this is verse 8, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." Here am I. Send me. So when I was a kid, our family did all these camps, kids' camps. Even when I was back in Canada just a few weeks ago, we went to the family camp where my family has a cabin, and the old kids' tab where we used to do all these wonderful services has been removed, but the slab is still there. And they put basketball nets. So now you can play basketball in the old kids' chapel. And I just kind of wandered, you know, I wandered around the camp and have those moments of remembrance. And for me, it was an opportunity to say thank you again to the God who graciously saved me. And I'm on the kids' tab, slab, walking around. And I have so many memories of that kids' tab. It's an old Quonset. And for those who like Quonset, come to the Dryden campus. We got two of them. It's a Quonset. And I remember we'd go in and we'd have to set up for kids' camp. And so one of the jobs was to unroll a banner that my dad had made when he was a young man, a young minister. It was orange with white lettering and a globe on it. And it had the words from Isaiah 6:8, "Who will go for us?" And underneath it said, "Here am I. Send me." And even in the midst of all my issues and junk and my movement around, it has become the prayer I pray. Here am I. Send me. There's something about this prayer that I think is so important in seasons of change. Because in seasons of change, what ends up happening is we are trying to recreate the thing that we lost. The thing that's behind us. We're like going, you know what, I need to get the vibes back, the feelings. I'll just listen to it. Because you remember the old songs and the old moments. You're like, yes, those were so beautiful. And we try to recreate them into the present. Or sometimes we think, maybe if I can get all the kids home and we'll have that wonderful feeling that we used to have when we were kids. How many know when you were kids, the whole family was together, you fought? No surprise, when you all get back together now, you're old, and you still fight, right? It's kind of like, hey, surprise, what family, right? But have you ever noticed we seem to glorify the past? And what we try to do into our present and into the changes is we try to rebuild or recreate the glories of yesterday to make it for today. We can't do it. And then we become frustrated, we become bitter, we become all sorts of different things. Do you see the prayer that he prays in the midst of change? Because as he's in this place and he has this encounter with God and he wrestles with his own stuff, all of a sudden he begins to hear God saying, "Who will go for us?" And instead of focusing on what was, he became more concerned about the mission that God had for him moving forward. And he responded by saying, "Here am I, send me." Instead of trying to relive a memory, he began to live a mission. Some of you are in seasons of change right now. And this is the ugly thing about change. It's not going to go back to what it was. We have the hopes, we have the dreams, we have all, boy, it was great in those memories. And it's okay to cherish memories. But don't be foolish to think that you can recreate them. And more than just living from memory, what we have to do is we have to begin to live mission in the change. It's all about having a heart that says, okay, God, even in the midst of this change, we recognize not only are you above all, but Lord, the earth is filled with your glory. That means in the season of change I'm entering into, Lord, your glory is here. So here am I. Send me. Here am I. Send me. I believe that God calls us to live missionally, to live on mission through change. Some of you, again, you're in seasons of change and you're not quite, you're like, I was sharing this in Dryden and I'm like, we have a couple that's getting ready to have a baby in just a few weeks. And I'm like going, how many know a baby will change you? Remember all those joyous times before the baby? Like, you can do whatever you want. You can stay out late. How many know you have a baby and it changes everything? And how many know once you have a baby, you ain't going back? It just changes. And you know what? You walk through that change. And sometimes as you're anticipating the change that's coming, you're going, I don't know if I'm going to be adequate for this. Can I be the father that I need to be? Can I be the mother that I need to be? And we wrestle with that stuff. But here's how you get through the change. You begin to figure out, well, what is my mission? Well, you know what? God's called me to be a dad. God's calling me to be a mom. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Because who's going to, in that family environment, begin to reflect the grace, peace, love of God, the purpose of God? Well, Lord, here am I. It may be that you're in the midst of a change regarding career, maybe even change of location. And you're like going, I don't know if I like this stuff. Well, hey, guess what? Whatever it is, it's saying, okay, God, in this space, Lord, change is here. And I'm just going to choose that even in the midst of this, Lord, I'm available. What you're asking me to be, I will be. What you're asking me to do, I will do. Because you know what? The whole earth is filled with his glory. And that means that even in this place, God, you want your glory to manifest itself. And so, Lord, I am here ready. So I was making jokes this morning about seniors. You know, getting older is not easy. If you don't believe me, ask Pastor Dwayne. You can ask LaVita tomorrow or the day after, right? Getting old isn't easy. How many know that there are times as you get older, there's changes that have to be made or just need to be made just simply because you're getting older? Like, you're adjusting your drive time because it's hard to drive at night. How many of you driving at night can be a bear? Right? I put my hand up because I'm old. But you know, you're like, the lights bother me. It changes. And there's changes that come. And part of it is, okay, is change is coming. Will I be available to God even in the midst of the change that's coming? It's not going to be what it was before. And I'm convinced that God wants us to grow through seasons of change. I want to invite the worship team to come because I'm going to wrap this whole thing up. See, my big idea at the beginning is just simply this. Encountering God enables us to grow through seasons of change. The recognition that, you know what? Things may change, but God doesn't. Like, no matter what's going to go on, I want you to know God's not going to change on you. He's going to be faithful. He's going to be good. He's going to be true to his word. He's still seated above, but his glory is still all around. It's his grace that whatever the change is, that will enable us to be what we must become. And that when we begin to make the prayer, here am I, send me, what it begins to do is it begins to release new possibilities for our life. Did you know you don't know what you don't know? That's a big idea, isn't it? You don't know what you don't know. Some of you are resisting change, but you don't know what you don't know. God is like, listen, I've got someone that I'm trying to help you become. I'm trying to release some possibilities into your life that you'll never experience. And I have met far too many people who are willing to hold on to things of the past and rob themselves of possibility in the future. Change is inevitable. Growth is optional. And when we begin to seek God's presence and saying, Lord, I need to see you. Lord, I need you to do in me what only you can do. Lord, I need you I just want you to know, Lord, I am available. Lord, whatever mission that this new season says, God, I am ready. When we do that, he enables us to experience far more than we can imagine. I love how Paul says it in Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to his power that is work within us. To him be glory in Christ in the church. To him who is able to do more. How many of you are ready to experience more of God's grace in your life? May we pursue his presence. May we be available for what God has next for us. May we choose to live on mission. We can celebrate our memories, but we're going to live for his purpose. As we do, I believe that we begin to find hope for our tomorrows. You may not have chosen the change that you're going through, the season of change. It can't get undone. But I want you to know there's still good. There's still a future. So may we see our Lord, high and exalted. May we confess that the whole earth is filled with his glory. May our prayer be, here am I, send me. Because as we do, he enables us to grow through our seasons of change. So Lord, into this moment, into this season, God, we just simply say, open our eyes that we might see you. God, more than anything else, Lord, we need to see you. High and exalted. Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your love. God, may we be ever available to you, to your purpose, in and through our changes. And just while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, how many would just acknowledge this morning that you're in the midst of a season of change and you're just saying, God, would you just help me see you more? That you, will you raise your hand? I want to pray with you. I see those hands, those ones, those ones, those ones. That one, thank you. Maybe you're here this morning and you're in the midst of a season and you've never made room in your heart for God. And you're saying, God, I need to know you. I need to know grace. I need to know hope. If that's you, I want to pray with you as well. Would you raise your hand? or anyone. Lord, you see these hands and you see these hearts. These are your children you care so deeply about. And God, I pray that you would pour out grace in abundance. For God, we need you. Thank you, Lord, that we can put our hope and our trust in you. Because you are faithful and good. Lord, I pray that even in the place we're at, even in the midst of change, that God, you would reveal your glory, be our joy and peace. In Jesus' name, amen.